Got to use this microphone this week. I went out last week and it was not good. I hope you're having a great day today, that the Lord is blessing you. And kids, look, you're going to stand here with us. You're going to be excited. Pastor Scott's preaching. You're going to just love it. It's going to be a good time for you. I just want to welcome you here. If you're a guest with us, look, we want you to know to just consider this place home. God's doing some pretty exciting things here at Bear Creek. We're seeing a lot of people come to Christ. We've got some baptisms lined up today. I hope you'll be at those baptisms at the Lake Granbury, at 7 o'clock. We do this each year, bring food. We set up some tents out there, and it's just a great display of the power of God to change people's lives. And so if you come today, I want you to know that no matter what you face in your life, God is bigger, and you've come to the right place. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your grace, and we thank you for the courage that you give us to live and to walk and to be the people that you've called us to be, Lord. We thank you that we've experienced your love, Lord, and we're living in your freedom and then your hope that you give us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I pray that you'll just wash us with your word. You'll teach us something new that we can step into, Lord, and continue to progress in this life to become more like you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I want to let you know that at the end of the service today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We do this on Family Sunday. We'll be passing a basket for the offering, for the tithe. And so we usually just have a box in the back. But today, we want to help our children know that our tithe and our giving is just a part of us. We live lives of generosity and giving. And we want them to understand that part of worship. And so we're going to be doing that today at the end of the service, just to let you know. Well, we're learning this month about Gideon. The title of this message series is called The Weak Made Strong. How many of you need some strength? And the strength to make it through each day, we need the Lord's strength. And so, Gideon and his people were heading in the wrong direction, and they were suffering for it. But they didn't realize that it was a result of their own sin. They were struggling with that, and they didn't realize that. And so they turned away from God, and they had given their attention and their affections toward idols, foreign idols. And according to Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it says that this was evil in God's sight, that they had turned their hearts away from him, that they had turned and started to trust in idols, these things of the world. And as we read through this, we're learning here that when things are out of order, we might call it stress. We might call it frustration. We might call it a struggle. We might call it just a difficulty or something, a trial that we're going through. We might say, why does this happen to me? But do we ever stop and just say, maybe God is trying to bring something to my attention. Maybe he's trying to teach me something. Maybe he wants me to learn something. Maybe he's trying to grow me through this trial that I'm facing. And God will use all sorts of things, won't he? To grow us, to get our attention. But why does he do this? He does it so we come back to him. And he's allowing sometimes these things in our lives to draw us back to him, where we're depending on him and not depending on these things of the world. And so if you'll remember last week in chapter 6, that's where we're at, Judges chapter 6. The Midianites and these other foreign armies, they were overpowering Gideon and his people. And they were taking their food, they were taking their crops, they were taking their livestock. They were basically just taking everything that they own, and they would leave. And then they would build these things back up again. These armies would come in. The Midianites would come in and steal everything from them. And you can imagine this has got to be very frustrating for them. And it was very frustrating for Gideon. And so we see in verse 13, Gideon questions God, and he blames God for abandoning him. Look at verse 13 in chapter 6. He said to the effect, "If the Lord was really with us, why are all these things happening to us? Where are all the miracles from our forefathers that they experienced? Why are we not experiencing these miracles?" And so here's Gideon, and he's questioning God. Why has the Lord forsaken us? Why has he turned away from us? Now, keep in mind, this misery that they were experiencing was a result of their own sin. Now, I want to kind of preface this and say, this does not necessarily mean that the difficulty or the struggle that you're in is due directly to the sin in your life. It could be just the sin environment that we live in. But all struggle and difficulty is rooted in sin in some form and fashion. It could be another person's sin. It could be the sin environment that we live in. It could be your own personal sin. But we should always take time to evaluate, because that's how God makes the weak strong. As we begin to trust in him, we trust in his power. That's how he strengthens us. That's how he grows us. But here's what happens is sin blinds us, doesn't it? And it fools us, and it deceives us, and it tricks us into believing that this is the way of life. This is the way of happiness. This is the way that I'm going to experience joy. And so God's word, it provides us with our standard. And God sets the standard, we don't. And this is hard, isn't it? It's hard to live in this world and to know that we have all these temptations, and we try to set our own standards, and sometimes we even turn to the world. And let me tell you, here's the difference here. Here's the difference between morality and holiness. Morality is changeable. Holiness is immutable. It never changes. Okay? God's word never changes. It always stays the same. But the morality of our world, it will change. And as more people move into leadership and as things change, the morality, the scale slides all over the place. And our standards are reduced. And so here's the problem. When we start measuring our own lives up against the standards of the world, it's going to seem like we're doing pretty good, right? I mean, we're going to look at the standards of the world and we're going to be like, "You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good here." But when we look at the standards of God, and God, listen, he is holy. And his word and his laws are not to be this heavy burden on your life, but they're to build these guardrails so you don't fall over. He has designed them to protect you. Why? Because he loves you. And so what happens is when we go over the guardrails, God is constantly seeking for ways to draw us back. And he uses circumstances. Because sometimes we have to be broken down, and we learned this last week, didn't we? We've got to be broken down so he can build us back up. And so we learned last week that Gideon was brought low, and he called himself the least, and Gideon was listening. He was low, he was the least, and he was listening. And that was a perfect place, because that's how God used him. And that's how God continues to use him through this story. So sin is working around the clock in your life, tempting you and drawing you away from God. And it's saying things like this: "I will satisfy you." So it's these things of the world. It's these people, places, and things of the world that call out to us. "I will satisfy you. I'll make you happy. I'll bring you comfort. I'll make you content. I will meet your needs." And we learn from Scripture that's just not true, that we find complete and full fulfillment in Christ and Him alone. He is the centerpiece of our lives. And He is the place where we find joy and true happiness. And He is the place that we find the life we've always wanted. But during this particular time, Gideon and his people were astray. And that's where God's people were. They were astray. They were finding their satisfaction elsewhere. And they had turned from God, and life had become miserable. And so then they begin to cry out. And you'll see that in chapter 6, verse 7. They started crying out, going, "Why does this happen to me?" And maybe that's where you are today. You know, the pressures of the world, the troubles, the frustrations are sort of squeezing you right now. And you've been praying for God to deliver you. And listen, maybe through today's message and through the word and through the life of Gideon, God is going to show up in your life. That's my prayer. So in Gideon's case, God shows us, and it's really through this angel of the Lord. This angel of the Lord appears to him. And here he is down in this pit. It's a wine press, which is kind of in the ground. And he's hiding, and he's threshing wheat. He's separating the wheat from the stalk. And he's gathering that up, and he's hoping to use that wheat for his family. But typically what would happen is the Midianites would come in and steal it from him. That's why he's hiding. And this angel shows up to him, and this angel calls him a man of valor and begins to speak a plan into his life. And so Gideon, in Gideon's case, God shows up. And the next big question is, will Gideon trust God? Will he trust him? And will he trust this plan that God has for him? And do you see this strange cycle that we get ourselves into? And it's the same cycle that we continue to see throughout the book of Judges. It's this cycle where we are trusting in the Lord. We experience blessing and comfort. We start to pull away from the Lord and give our attention to the things of the world. Then we start to experience misery and difficulty and struggle. And then we begin to cry out to God. And this happens 7 times in the book of Judges. And it happens over and over again in our own lives, doesn't it? Where we're crying out to Him. And if you're like me, you read this story and you're just like looking at these people and you're like, will they ever learn? But then I stop and I start thinking about me. And I think about how many times I have veered off course and I have turned from the Lord and begin to trust in my own plans and begin to give my heart and my affections and my attention to other things besides Him, putting things above Him. And so we see this cycle, and Gideon and his people were experiencing here at this moment. This angel appears, and now they're experiencing God's grace. God is a God of grace, and He's a God of second chances. And think about it. Maybe you've been in that sort of frustration, and God has been offering you a way out, and maybe you haven't connected the dots yet on how to get out of this. And I hope that in today's message, you'll be able to connect those dots. But just like Gideon, you have a choice to make. Will you listen? Will you trust? And will you obey the voice of God? Or will you go back to the way things used to be? Will you go back to the things you're begging God to get out of your life? And if you know me, there was a segment when I came to the Lord, this segment of about 6 years when I lived mostly in the world. And I kept, you know, I'd find myself in church on Sunday living for the world the rest of the week. And I was miserable, y'all, because I knew God was drawing me. And he was giving me these truths. I would hear the word and I would experience the truth of God's word. And every week I'd be convicted by it, but I just want to go back because I just felt like, you know, everybody, this is how everybody lives. Why can't I live this way? This is how everybody lives. But yet I was miserable. And it's just this crazy, crazy, crazy cycle. And so what we find in the book of Judges, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what we find in the book of Judges. We find a God of grace. People think the book of Judges is really about like despicable people doing despicable things. It's really about a gracious God doing gracious things. He's extending his grace to these people who continue and continue and continue to turn away and turn away and turn away. And he's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And it's about a God offering his grace to a people who don't deserve it. And they don't seek it. And they don't even appreciate it when they get it. And it doesn't take them very long and they're right back. The same old, same old. Same old struggles. And so last week, this angel shows up and he says, "The Lord is with you, Gideon, you mighty man of God." And then Gideon says, he says, "If I have found favor in your sight, show me a sign." He's kind of like us, right? God, if you're really there, I need to know it. Show me a sign. Look, the signs are everywhere, y'all. The signs are everywhere. The signs are in your hands. It's so amazing. Do you think these hands were made by fluke, right? That they just sort of happened. The signs are in the sun and in the trees outside and all the creation and how it's so intricately woven together and put together, the organization and the order of our world. And that there's purpose behind everything. And obviously, there must be a purpose for you. The signs are everywhere. Show me a sign, God, Gideon says, just like we so often do. And so then between verses 18 and 24, and I'm just going to sort of move us through this, Gideon brought out this offering to the angel of the Lord, the sacrifice. And the angel touches it, and it's consumed with fire, and Gideon begins to understand just that there just might be a God, that God might actually be there with him. And he says in verse 22, "I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And then God gives Gideon a really difficult task, and that's what we're going to talk about today, starting in verse 25. "That night the Lord said to him," this is Judges chapter 6, verse 25, "that night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull.'" And I want you to watch what happens here. I want you to just imagine and think about what you would do in this situation. Think about it. What, if God called you to a task similar to this in today's world, in today's pressures, in today's pressure to conform, if God called you to this kind of task, how would you respond? "That night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull.'" So remember, this is Gideon. He has to go in and take out his father's bull out of the stable. "And the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it." Verse 26, "And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull," the seven-year-old bull, "and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down." Verse 27, "So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night." So again, here's the instructions. Okay, Gideon, here's the task I'm gonna send you to do. I'm gonna have you go. I want you to get your dad's bull, get two of your dad's bulls. Okay, and I want you to go and tear down this altar to Baal and this Asherah pole. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I want you to tear those down. So what is the significance of these bulls? Well, first of all, here's what we have to understand. An animal during this particular time is very important to the family. And when he says get the bull of 7 years, some people figure that he's referring to a bull that's 7 years old, because that is how long that they have been in oppression due to the Midianites attacking them. And so here we have two bulls that belong to his dad. He says, take your dad's bulls and use them, use the strength of these bulls to tear down those two altars, those two idols. And so who is Baal? And what is this Asherah that we're talking about? Well, back in Judges chapter 3 and verse 7, Scripture tells us that the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and the Ashereth. So what does that even mean? Well, during this time, God's people had been influenced by the Amalekites. These are foreigners. And the Amalekites worshipped false gods. And Baal was one of those false gods. Now, Baal worship didn't start... It started long before that with the Canaanites, but the Amalekites are the ones that had influenced God's people. And these were false gods. Baal was depicted as a sun god, and Asherah would typically be beside Baal. And the Asherah pole was to depict Asherah, the moon goddess. And they were both considered fertility gods. And this is important. They were both considered fertility gods. They believed worshiping this false god and goddess would enable them to produce crops and to produce children. All right? And so I can imagine the reason that Joash, Gideon's father, had these two idols, this altar and this idol, put on his property is because he truly believed it would help him produce great crops and produce children. And so he began to get answers elsewhere. Other than turning to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he turned to these false gods. And he was influenced by them. Well, think about how important the crops were during this time. And think about the influence. Think about today. Think about the influences of culture and how influenced we can be to veer away from God and trust the things and the methods and the philosophies of our world. It's so easy. It's so easy to slip into that. And that's what happened to God's people. We are so much like them. And he continues on. That night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull. I'm going to start over again here. And the second bull, the seven-year-old, and put down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah. And so he's told to do this. And when the men in the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down. This is verse 28. And the Asherah beside it was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, who has done this? And after they had searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this. Verse 30. Then the men of the town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. So have they really... If you think about what's happening in this moment, and you think about the pressure on his father Joash in this moment, look at verse 31. But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal? In other words, will you stick up for this foreign god, or will you save him? Whoever contends for him, speaking of Baal, shall be put to death by morning." If he is God, if Baal is God, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbabel. That is to say, let Baal contend against Baal, or against him, because he broke down his altar. So in other words, Joash steps out. The people want to come and kill his son, Gideon, for tearing down these two idols. And Joash, he has sort of, it looks like he's having a change of heart. And he's probably starting to realize the boldness of his son to tear all this down. And I want you to think about that bull, that seven-year-old bull. It's sort of like taking your dad's Corvette, all right? Your dad has a red Corvette. And you use it, and you tie a rope around the back of it, and you pull down an altar with it. And not only do you pull it down, not only do you drag down the altar, but you take the Corvette and you use the Corvette to start the fire in the altar to the true and living God. So as we make our way through this story, and let's start in verse, look at verse 33. Now all the Midianites and Amalekites and the people of the east came together and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizarites were called out to follow him. Remember, the Abizarites were his people. And he blew a trumpet, and the very people that sought to kill him, now they're following him. Now they're following him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. So as we make our way through this story, God is teaching us a lot of lessons. And as we see God shape Gideon into the man he wants him to be, it should move us to take note of what's happening here. And our prayer should be, God, change me, like you're changing Gideon. And I'm going to show this on the screen, but I want to do this sort of in a prayer form. Let me show you three things that I want you to take home with you today. Number one is I want you to have the prayer that says, Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my heart. Remember what Gideon told God last week. I'm from the weakest clan. Actually, Chad mentioned this with the kids today. Gideon said, I'm from the weakest clan. I'm the least in my father's house. How am I going to save anyone? And the fact is, his heart was in a good place to be used by God. His heart was in a good place to be used by God. Remember, he was low, he was least, and he was listening for God to speak. And so God is searching for a heart of humility that's listening. And he resists the proud. We know this in Scripture. And gives grace to the humble. And I'll tell you, Gideon was being humbled by his experience. He was being humbled by God, by the words of God, by the word of God. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in proper time you may be exalted. Well, what does it mean to humble yourself? It means to come under his leadership. Humble yourself. It's intentional, right? Humble yourself. Luke 14:11 says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So here's the question. Where is your heart today? If you want to see God's plan played out in your life, like he's playing out this plan in Gideon's life, it's going to start with a receptive, humble heart that's willing to receive. And maybe you're just quite not quite there yet. Or maybe you are. That's a question for you. But remember what Scripture says, it's very intentional. Humble yourselves. God uses these circumstances, these pressures, these different things to get our attention and to lead us towards humility. But in the end, it's going to be you humbling yourself. And pride, I'll tell you, is a tricky thing. Pride says, I know. Pride is it's a fault finder in other people. Pride looks at another person and says, yeah, they need to do this, and this person needs to do that, and that person really needs to hear that message. And so it's just looking, and it looks for the faults in other people, and has a very hard time turning things on themselves. That's what pride does. It puffs up. It says, I know. Pride doesn't like to be taught. Pride doesn't like to be in situations where another person's teaching them something. Pride is a harsh spirit. A prideful person gets irritated real easy. It's very defensive. They have a really hard time receiving correction. And they can go either way. They can go towards the emotionalism when it comes to receiving correction or anger. But the pride is so great, and they're so stuck on their way and so hardened of heart that they have a hard time hearing from God. And Gideon, he had a heart for God. He had a heart to listen. He came low. He considered himself the least, and he was listening. And God was ready to do the work. Where is your heart today? Number two, Lord, change my home. Lord, change my home. Back to the story. If you want to learn how to trust God, you must first set your own house in order. You must first set your own house in order. That includes you. That includes your home front. And these idols were erected at Gideon's home. And he had to tear down these idols that his father had erected. Imagine that. He had to use his father's bull, and he had to tear down the things that his father was using as a place of worship. Notice in verse 27, Gideon was afraid of his family. So he went and he did these things by night. It says that he was afraid of his family, and he was afraid of the people of the city. When we seek to honor God in our home, it's not going to be easy. And let's see, last night, I'm going to bust on my son again. This is another week I get to bust on my son. This is great. But last night, about 12:30 at night, and I hear my son laughing and talking, and he's on video games, okay? And I was about to tear down the idol of a video game last night. And burn it on the altar of God in my backyard. And I still might do that. I still might do that, Cody. But we have all these things, and I want you to know this. Okay? The television that you allow in your home can become an idol for your family. The things that you allow through your front door can become an idol for your family. The things that your children are learning can become an idol for your family. What you allow, you are the gatekeeper. You are the gatekeeper. And what he's doing is he first zeroes in on Gideon's heart, and now he's zeroing in on Gideon's home, and he's getting his home in order before he sends him out to his task, what he's called to do. And Gideon had to make some tough decisions. Remember, he had to take his dad's Corvette and pull down some altars and then burn his dad's Corvette on the altar of God. Listen, this nation that we live in today, if we don't put Christ back into the center of our homes and teach our children to do the same in their homes when they grow up, the standards will be broken. And when the standards are broken, we're on shifting sand. And the Bible says that it talks about us building our foundation on the rock and not on shifting sand. Because when the winds blow, those things that are on shifting sand, they will be demolished. Let me ask you, is your house in order? Is your house in order? Are you the man that God is calling you to be? Are you the woman that God is calling you to be? Are you the mother and the father that God is calling you to be? Are you the protector of the front door of that home? And listen, it's not just your family. When we talk about the home, it's your own personal life. What are you doing to protect your own personal life? Well, God was setting things straight and preparing Gideon. And when he took this bold step and made this bold statement. He had no idea how his father was going to respond, did he? He had no idea. And his father actually steps out, and here's the city. They want to kill Gideon. His father steps out and says, hey, if this is really God, if Baal is really God, he'll contend with himself. Don't have to kill my son. He'll contend with himself. He'll contend for himself. And so the heart of the father began to turn back to God because of Gideon's actions. I believe that's what was taking place. Because of what the bold statement, the bold thing that Gideon did, responding to God, it gave his father a wake-up call. Wait a minute, I need to be worshiping the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why am I worshiping the God of the Amalekites? Why am I worshiping the gods of this world? I need to get my heart straight and my life straight and my home straight. Maybe that's what his father was saying at this time. But we know. The city did rise up against him and said, we want to kill him, but guess what? Because he honored what God wanted him to do, did you see what happened? It said he blew a trumpet, and every body began to come to him. He blew a trumpet, and people from the city begin to gather and stand behind Gideon. And I love what it says in verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. He was no longer living and walking in his own desires and in his own flesh. He was now clothed by the Spirit of the Lord, and God was empowering him. And he changed his home. And now, here's the next prayer. The next prayer is, Lord, change my habits. Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my home. Lord, change my habits. Gideon went from gathering wheat to assembling an army. Never thought he would do that. He never thought he would do that. He went from being clothed in the flesh to being clothed in the spirit. He went from saying, I'm the least in my home. You remember this from last week, right? I'm the least in my home. I'm the lowest of our people. He went from saying that to becoming a mighty man of valor, just like the angel told him at the beginning. And the habits started to change, and he began to do something different. And he began to get bold. He was no longer weak. And living out our faith, trusting God, is different. It's a different way of living. You can't take all that stuff from your past and drag it into your new life. You've got to burn it. It's called dying to self. We are crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we take the old life, even some of the stuff that we really like. I remember, you know, I had problems with alcohol, and I wanted to become a Christian, but I said, you know what, God, if you'll let me drink with my friends on weekends. And then we would get into all this crazy, wild living on the weekends, and I found myself back into the same patterns and the same habits that I was in. And God spoke to me, and he just said, Scott, you're going to have to utterly forsake alcohol, as much as attached as you are to it, because you can't handle it, and you're going to have to utterly forsake it. So it was just yet another thing I had to burn away from my life so I can find a better life in Christ. And I'll tell you, you guys, I never thought I'd have a life like I have today. So Gideon had to get to a point where he said, these habits are killing me. And maybe your habits are killing you. Be careful of the habits that you choose, because one day you're going to be begging God to remove them from your life. I tell that to my kids all the time. And so the life that he never thought possible, Gideon was starting to see that he's becoming a man of valor, just like the angel told him, just like God told him. He was weak, he was lowly, and God lifted him up, because that's what happens when you humble your heart and you get your house in order and you start changing the habits. And look, it's not you. Did you notice what happened? It's not you. Again, look at verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. It was the Spirit of the Lord guiding his steps, empowering him to live this new life, to live this new life. And maybe that's what you need today, is a new life. And look, maybe today you're just starting this new faith walk. Give it some time. Be patient and lean in. Lean in and trust him. This world will steal more than it gives. And he blesses to overflow. And he'll continue to do that in your life. Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my home. Lord, change my habits. So this message today, it's really about God's grace. And it's about giving you a second chance. And maybe that's what you need today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll just scan this group today. And today you'll find that humble heart who's willing to receive and listen to you, Lord. And may your word dig in to that softened, humble heart and change that person forever. This is a day that the Lord has made. This is a day that the Lord has made. In Jesus' name, amen.